The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome everyone to this last ever EvoStick NPL show for the 2014-15 season.
Oh, thank God for that.
Round the table, we're joined by the great and good of the EvoStick NPL world. We've got Gaz Worrell from Mosley AFC.
Good evening. 2 weeks on the trot.
Yeah, I know, innit? Hey. That was magical, isn't it?
You know what we've got, it's 20 minutes ago.
We've got Swampy from FCM Radio and 5 Live. Roy Sewell from New Mills is here.
Yeah, good evening, folks.
Aaron Flanagan from The Mirror. We've got Ian Burke from 26-0 and from Radio Manchester.
And North West Tonight once. Hello.
I saw you. Wasn't it Look North West or whatever it is?
Ben, can I just, going back to Look North West, a very quick story.
North West Tonight?
I was on Look North West when it was its early years. My school, when I was a young boy, went to school and lived in Longside. Never ever been anywhere else apart from the inner city. We were taken to Blackpool. We went to Blackpool, cut a long story short, it was on a double-decker bus. We got there. We all went to the sea, happy days, came out. My mum saw me putting a pair of my shorts back over the underpants. She said, no, you're not doing that. Underpants down, live on the television, the BBC Look North West. Thank you very much, Mother. I've never forgiven her.
We've got James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group.
But I like it to them now.
And of BBC Command Report. ITV Command Report.
When was that?
Oh, yeah.
Did they ever catch you?
Yes.
We've got Laura Flint from Salford City.
Hello.
And from the non-league review, we've got Stuart James.
I was on Sky Sports once.
Were you? In the background, was it shaking one of those little devices on transfer deadline day? Is that what it was? Okay. So, I'm... By the way, how middle class did it sound, one of those devices?
One of them devices.
Yes. I'm Ben, and we're recording this on Wednesday, the 29th of April. We don't know who won the dudes, and we don't know who won the playoffs. We don't even know who made the playoffs in certain cases.
Tomorrow, you might know.
Yeah. Definitely.
I'd still like to say,
you shouting
well
my name?
Done to Ilson and Spennymoor for getting promoted, and Leek. I think they've done a great job.
So last August, when we sat round, we got a new name to put on the show. It was called the NPL Show originally. Then we had to say, oh, it's EvoStick NPL Show. And we all sat round the table. And
we thanked him for their sponsorship.
We did.
Also the use of
the laptop. Yes, laptop. Very handy.
So let's not curse it for next season, Ben, for goodness sake.
So last August, we sat round the table and we all discussed who was going to win the league. And everyone said, pretty much, FC United was going to win the league.
We were right.
And they did.
You said working.
Congratulations, everyone. Well played. Aren't you all clever people? But how did they win the league, Swamper?
They got more points than everyone else.
Well done, Stu.
They did indeed.
Let's try and make a show out of this, can we?
In all fairness, sir, I think FC United, certainly after the 6 seasons in the Northern Premier Division, under the guidance of Carl Margeson, alongside Roy Sewell for a period of time as well, until he moved on to New Mills, We'd underperformed to a degree. We'd got to play a finals on numerous occasions and just failed at the final hurdle. Those teams have all got on, in fairness, to do very well in the Northern, going into the conference, with the exception of Colwyn Bay, who are just on the precipice of maybe being relegated. Not quite sure yet to this day where they are. In fact, I think they have gone down now. It's the first team that have actually gone up from the Northern Premier League for about 15 to 20 years, I think, that have actually come back down after about 5 seasons. I think this season, though, from FC United, a lot of lessons learned, a good squad, started off not brilliantly. We all anticipated FC United would have a great start and we were the best team. 8 draws in the opening part.
More draws than IK at Ashton, wasn't there?
I think the best team have won the league this season. They've had something about them all through the season. Even when they were drawing and not getting beat, there was something there. We just got to a stage of the season where we started playing football, good quality football.
In this case, is it agreed? I mean, Aaron, you're around the table. We don't know if Curzon won in the playoffs at the time of recording.
Yeah, no, I think FC, in the end, thoroughly deserved to win the league. You've got to remember that they did get off to a pretty disastrous start, though.
It wasn't disastrous. They just weren't winning.
You were struggling. You were struggling to see
very
off games.
Very inconsistent.
They didn't. For me, watching FC at the start of the season, they weren't playing the way that FC teams have done in years.
And you know what
combined.
The proof of the pudding is? in, I think,
being Curzon 4-0.
No, sorry. In the month that of in September's show, in October's show, we never even mentioned FC because they weren't in the top half of the table.
Well, as I say, FC weren't playing the football which they'd been known to years gone by. They'd almost kind of slowed down. They were playing at 10% less pace, you know, and they weren't attacking opponents in the same way. But you know, obviously, they changed it around eventually. They
one of the biggest selling points of FC's season was when they switched to Curzon's ground, which is tailor made for their style of football, and I think they came into their own and gave themselves an extra edge by being able to play on the surface that's that really they carried into, you know, onto their away trips around the league. And I feel that that was one of the biggest selling points.
No matter how difficult a start they got off to with so many draws, like you said, they were mid-table. They were never that far out of it, though, because the teams at the top...
Behind Skem all the way through.
Skem were top for the majority of the season. But FC United were never that far behind. They had games in hand all the time. They went on a fantastic FA Trophy run, which most people thought might have hindered them a little bit, but no, it gave... gathered a belief. They got a few more players in towards the end of the season, strengthened, and yeah, the start might have been down to the pressure from everyone. Everyone said this is their time, they've got to win it. Charlie have gone, Fylde have gone, the big spenders from last year. This is FC United's time. It might have been down to the bad start that they got, but they come good in the end, and we were all right. Well done, everyone.
FC United came good in the end. They started their normal running a lot earlier than they normally do in November, pretty much. But Skelmersdale United, who ended up finishing the season seventh, once again were leading at Christmas. Go on, Stu.
The thing is, though, we all said it. After Christmas, we all said they're going to fall away. And then the chairman or the backer or whoever has the money there pulled out. And we said they're going to fall away, and I think they finished 6 or 7 points outside the playoffs. So not only did they go from winning the league, top of the league with X amount of points over everyone else, everyone had games in hand over Skelmersdale, and gradually they got caught up, swallowed up, and they finished way out of the playoffs.
But shouldn't we say, I'm coming back to you, Aaron, at this point, Skem, second season in the Premier Division, they came up from Division 1 North, and Each season, they've held their own, haven't they?
Yeah, no, I think that's partly down to a good manager, partly down to a good squad. It's been a relatively consistent squad through the whole time. And again, they did play good football.
Another team who I'd like to just bring up now, who did were up at the top for a long time, who did fall away, my personal picks for the league title this year, was Buxton. You were just about to say Buxton. Whoa. Was it deliberate? Were they just trying to let me down, Stu? Is that what happened?
I think it was. I think you offended Alex McKenna in the first couple of months of the season. Well, Buxton are up
and his dog and cat following from around the whole of the UK.
I thought they looked great first half of the season. Saw him a couple of times, and Sean Sutton particularly, he was running show. Liam Hardy alongside him, he looked half decent too.
They were brilliant,
too.
I thought.
Yeah.
I'd go as far as saying their individual performance when they beat Curzon at their place about a month into the season was probably the best individual team performance I watched all year.
How fast were they?
They were playing at pace, they were attacking you, they were getting loads of shots on goal. And then we played them in the back end of the season, it was like a completely different team. They were playing a completely different way.
The downside for Buxton, and the FC played them, and it was for FC away at Silverlands.
Oh, yeah.
45 minutes of being absolutely pummeled. I've not seen a team destroy a team and only go in at 1-0 at half time. FC went down to 10 men, they came out second half, and FC United battered them and got a result there.
And I think that pretty much summed up their whole season.
They are a 45 minute football team, be it the first half or the second half. You would hope it would be second half for them because they know we're going to win a game. But it would seem to be always 45 minutes. But what three front players. And a great footballing team to watch again.
Just to say Buxton, I did go on holiday to Buxton this year and I had a lovely time.
It's a handsome town, I really
it's
like
lovely.
It.
It's lovely.
Like
it's
the place.
It's only train right away.
Is that the word you use? A handsome town?
Yeah, handsome
and any
town.
And any discount you're wishing to give me, then I'm more than willing to accept.
And the manager's stepping down as well. Well, now I suppose, at the end of the season. Yeah.
Another side who promised a lot was Ilkeston. Okay. Now, at time of recording, we don't know whether they got promoted or not on the on player final day. But with the full-time academy and some professional, ex-professional players managing them, hopes were high at Ilkeston.
That's it. Ilkeston, for me, over the last four or five seasons, and seeing them and seeing the setup that they've got there and the trials and tribulations of the football club, what they've gone through to where they are now, I think it's testament to a football club with a lot of other footballing clubs around them and some big clubs around them as well, where the base, there's a lot of big clubs there. For me, watching them, the best footballing team bar none, including FC, better than FC footballing on the day, the best footballing team that you will watch in semi-pro football. And that's me saying that, but also quoting FC United players themselves, said they are the best footballing team. Academy, yes. Full time, yes. Young kids, yes. Most of the players that they had that were actually semi-pro left the football club last year because they couldn't continue to do a full academy.
And that's actually what Roy Sewell, I remember him saying, was one of the downsides of having a full-time academy at this level, is that some clubs from higher up would just come in and pinch your best players. In fact, it might have been you, Berkey, actually.
Well, they pinched the players. They didn't pinch the players. They took three or four players, and they've got good bunts out of it. You know, Che Adams went on, done superbly well, scored two goals against Spurs when he came off for Sheffield United. They've got three, I think, four players in total. And for me, I just enjoy watching Ilkeston. I think if you're an Ilkeston fan and they carry on playing this kind of football for years to come, wow, I mean, they're like the Tottenham Hotspur. Tottenham have always played great football, haven't they? It's like Tottenham Hotspur of the semi-pro world. But if they can develop it and go forward, brilliant.
I think Ilkeston fulfilled their full potential in proof of finishing in the playoff spots. Tremendous, you know, achievement that with a young group of players, and that's, you know, basically all credit is goes down to the management staff and the coaching staff who organise them and prep them ready, you know, for their encounters on a Saturday and a midweek games.
Two teams who were there or thereabouts pretty much all season was Curzon and Ashton United. Not as you call it, Curzon and Ashton. Which is very confusing. Can I just tell you that? That's a bit of feedback. But Curzon, yeah, Ashton.
Curzon, Ashton. Get it right, come on. Yeah.
And Ashton, yeah. United. It's great for Tameside, isn't it?
Brilliant for local football in Greater Manchester. Tameside in particular. And of course, Ashton, even more in particular. Ashton United, they're not the greatest team to watch. They're built in the image of their managers, the robust.
And only one postponed match all season.
It could have been two. It could have been two, but it was only the one.
Ashton United? Yeah. An abandoned one as well.
Yeah, oh, that's true. They did have the abandoned.
But it started, so therefore,
yes.
It was only one match.
But they've got a great spine there at Ashton United. You look at the back, they've got Higgins and Garton, two centre halves. You've got Ash Young, you've got Gary G. And then up front, you've got probably the best front line in the entire division, really. You've got Pilkington, you've got Dale Johnson, and now Ben Deegan. And Oakes on the bench. Let's not forget Michael Oakes, who scored 30-odd goals last season for Trafford. Oh, sorry, two seasons ago for Trafford. Tonight. But Curzon play lovely football. Their first ever season at Step 3. Yeah. And they've excelled, really. I expected them to. I didn't expect them to finish fourth. I thought they'd be top eight, something like that. But they've really kicked on again this season. And I'm made up for Aaron and his dad. And well done on them for getting promoted.
I'm going to back
disclaimer supply
just because at the start of the season I didn't expect them to get anywhere near the playoffs, and I hold my hands up to that, and I've been quite amazed that they did it, and fair play.
Now
always the bathroom belper. The bathroom belper goes past. Don't go there, lad. Never heard of it. You're lovely. It's James Stanich said 261 up 11:52 PLE Radio.
Hold that thought, Swamper.
Hi, James.
Here we come. Hello, my dear.
Hello, boys.
Hello, girls and ladies.
And girls and ladies, how's the show?
Show's going well. How are you?
Good. I'm absolutely mint.
Marvellous.
Are you going to play the news about Belper?
Belper?
Belper Town.
Yes.
Derbyshire.
Derbyshire. Have you been there, love?
Probably, and you're a girl who lived there, so I probably went down to see her.
No,
so is this the, is this the lower league discussion?
The review.
That's exactly what it's called.
The FC United.
No.
No, did you predict that?
What?
FC United getting promoted.
Oh yeah, we all did. Every single last man jack of us. Yeah,
we're
we did.
Here, aren't we?
Well, I don't know if we're experts. But,
I said Buxton. Just to,
well, apart from Ben, who got it hopelessly wrong.
Just knows how to edit.
You know.
Yeah, but you got your holiday out of it, Ben.
I did get a holiday out of it. That was the whole point.
Next season is Belper. You say, goal, 11:52, Piccadilly, 2-6-1.
Why?
It's brilliant.
We're not on.
We can use that.
What for?
Anything we want.
Blackmail.
No, you can't blackmail me. I don't know what to say.
Hands
told you. No. I've got it. The biggest AM station outside of London. It's Piccadilly Gold. It's Piccadilly 261 with Stanage. And it was also season one.
Right. Two teams for a long time were down either mid-table or lower end of the table. We'll focus on the team who did make the playoffs, Workington. Workington for a long time, right? 13th, 14th, weren't they? For ages.
Hobbling along.
I've written them off every week on the extra show.
You're still writing them off now? Actually, to be fair, you're right too now at this point, yes.
You can now write them off, well done.
Yeah. But yeah, obviously I'm shocked to see, obviously, a year after relegation, teams that come down from Conference North generally take a year or two to rebuild and then have a proper go. You've got to look at Blythe, who did it 3 seasons ago, he came down. Ilkeston, again, obviously, different situations, how they came down, but they took time to rebuild and come back. I thought it'd be the same with Workington this year, but they proved me wrong.
Well, yourself and Aaron, in fairness, did say that they thought they'd both struggle.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Aaron said that.
Aaron certainly said they were.
That's my only memory.
They may even go Drosden's way, I think he said. Yeah. That's his words.
That's my only memory from the first podcast of the season.
I think you did actually. I've listened back and you did say they probably get relegated.
And to be fair to you, Aaron, to be fair, it goes to show you how well Workington have done this year. Because everyone thought that, really.
I wrote them off completely, simply because of the regular history of teams that do come down. They never normally do as well as Workington have done at all.
And you know, in fairness, if you actually listen to the
good luck next season, Burke.
If you listen to the opening month of the season, we were talking about. So I said Workington will be around there.
All right, because
they're modest.
You play lip service.
No. So I was just yes, I was. Yeah, good point.
And the other team who would like to mention is Blythe Spartans. Now, for obvious reasons, Blythe Spartans had so many games in hand. I think they were second from bottom at one point. They just missed out last game of the season. Just missed out on the playoffs. But they've had a hell of a year, haven't they? Roy?
The downside for them,
Roy.
In fairness, from Roy's perspective.
No, I think they've had a tremendous season. I mean, even though we were fairly well down in the league, I think everybody around the table, you know, did see the qualities of them. And although they had, you know, they had a hell of a lot of games in hand, I think it was like something like 6 or 7 games, you know, that they had to catch up. It was a matter of could they keep that consistency up over those 7 games and then also catch up on the other side, you know, in the regular season. But it's all right, you know, gaining your points up to catch up the other teams. But as soon as you sort of hit the mark that you're looking for, it's surprising how, you know, you tend to relax that little bit and then you find yourself on the back foot and you have to pick that momentum up again.
But to be fair to Blythe, didn't they draw about 3-3 in about 8 games in the running or something?
Well, one of them was against Ramsbottom where they were 3-1 down with 2 minutes to go.
The two goals which they scored in that game as well were typical non-league scrappy goals. They both come from set pieces, ball bobbling around the area, and they've proper dug out a win. And I think that's what
the problem with Blythe, the downside for Blythe was they played Marine the last game of the season because there was a playoff place there and Marine were fighting for their lives. Marine have got out of something that no team ever predicted. They were 14 points away. But that's the downside for Blythe.
Now, just before we move on,
Fans play of the season.
Barwell.
Managers play of the season.
But they've got a rubbish kit.
NPL play of the season.
Hang on. Just to say, Barwell, Rush Olympic, Hales Owen, Grantham, Whitby Town, Matlock, Nantwich, Stourbridge, Kings Lynn, congratulations.
Ben, now, Nantwich did brilliantly. We were all predicting them to get relegated.
Wait!
Sorry.
But now an advert, sorry, and when we come back, we're going to discuss the sides you got relegated then, and you didn't get relegated. No, before not before we do.
Before you do, Barwell, yeah, fantastic season. Absolutely superb. Well done, and well done to Rush Olympic. Yeah.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Welcome back to the Magnet here in Stockport.
Whoa, wait. What a great advert that was.
Thank you. Right, so, relegation. Relegation. Any surprises with Belper Town?
Oh, no.
Okay. Congratulations.
Got that straight on.
Well done.
Yeah. He's changed his tune. Have you noticed, though? He's changed his tune. He knows where it is
can
now.
Can I just say about Belper, and this is open for people to agree with me or not, they gave it a good shot, didn't they? Because for a long...
Yeah.
It wasn't like a Drolsden situation where they were relegated in November. Second from bottom was Trafford. I think a few people might be surprised with Trafford around this table. Berkey, I'm coming to you.
Listen, I never said they'd be champions. I thought that they could be dark horses for finishing top 10, something like that. However, it didn't go to plan at all, did it, unfortunately.
Your team search didn't work, did it?
They only won twice at home in the league all season. They were drawing left, right and centre at the start of the season. After about eight games, they were on level points with FC United. They were drawing left, right and centre, they really were, but then the wins just didn't come.
You're right, it is.
And they had a young side there, the experienced players eventually all went to FC United.
Well, three of them went.
The good players eventually went to FC United. Graham Heathcote came in, didn't quite work for him. He won 2 out of 16, I think it was. He's retired now as a manager. He just sort of had enough of it.
But huge plans for next season. Huge
apparently
plans for next season.
I think they're going to be a team to watch. I've got to say, Ben, the one team that really surprised me...
I've got a running order here.
...is Witton Albion.
Wait, that's the last team I'm going to be talking about.
You said
now.
You weren't going to interrupt.
Yeah, you said you were just going to... Oh,
hang on. There's a
bossy now.
It's because I can see the bus going at quarter to, I can just see it. So,
I'll go without you anyway.
You'll get a lift, Ben.
Now, at time of recording, we don't know how many teams from the Premier Division have been relegated
all
due to the AGM Cup and all that, as it's now colourfully known as nowadays. Now, Marine have taken that fourth from bottom relegation spot.
Go and take a break now.
No, he's not going to. He's not going to explain it. So, Marine.
Yes.
If they manage to survive thanks to the AGM Cup, how amazing has that escape been?
That has been.
Well, to be honest, I mean, it's a tremendous one. Like, you know, they've been fortunate that they've finished in that position. They've got a tradition, if I'm not mistaken, that they've never ever been out of this division.
Yeah,
never been relegated.
You know,
from it,
so,
certainly.
I mean, they carry on that tradition. I just feel that this season, you know, for Marine, has been a blip because, you know, usually they're up there, they're doing bits and bobs, like, you know, and they have a decent catchment area, you know, four players. But saying that, you know, it is what you do on the day, you know, and if you don't perform on a consistent basis, then, you know, you fall foul. And that division's strong right the way through, where your bottom clubs can actually beat your top ones. And I think Swamp has actually said that.
Frickley Athletic.
Yes.
Now, as well. Frickley Athletic, I'd just like to mention them because everyone's tip for relegation this year, I'm going to pretty much suggest.
Everyone's tip for relegation every year.
Exactly. And this year, no AGM Cup.
Good for them.
Stamford, congratulations to you. Ramsbottom United, the first season in the Premier Division this year. Stayed up.
They stayed up, Ben, because they lost the managers. And if they kept the managers in fairness...
Well, I was going to leave you out of this part, but here we go.
They actually would have been a lot better off.
They would have been challenging, no doubt.
And it's not the fault of where they went to, it's not the fault of the club that they went to. They were allowed to go, it was circumstances they went to, they want to better themselves, that's fair. They've been at Ramsbottom for 4 or 5 seasons, done amazingly well.
And especially
considering... The floodlights never went on until about 5 minutes before kickoff. That's amazing.
How much negotiation do you need to get a plug to work?
At 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's amazing.
In the main stand. No, you don't need a plug. No, we do. To make the radio work.
Before we leave this part of the show, it would be remiss of us not to mention the big shock, yeah. I would suggest.
Yeah. It wasn't a shock, Ben.
A lot of people are going it's a shock.
So I'm going to say it was a shock.
It was
Witten
a shock.
Albion.
They were 2-0 up at half time, final game of the season. They were safe, conceded three in the second half, and it's just absolutely rotten for him. Everyone involved at the club, they've got a really decent side there, and for whatever reason it hasn't clicked this season. We know they've had three different managers, and when Brian Pritchard said at the top of the campaign that he was stepping down, it knocked everybody for six. It didn't knock him for six, in fact it knocked him for seven, it knocked him for eight. No one saw it coming.
Has anyone got any more numbers? Anyone higher than eight?
Anthony Sheen had a good start as the Witten manager there. But then, no, he didn't lose his first five because he was. Yes, he did.
Yeah,
but
good start.
While he was caretaker. No, listen. He did well while he was caretaker manager there. He got given the job on a full-time basis. Then he lost a load of games. He stepped down, so he couldn't stem the tide to start with. But then it was 13 games on the spin that he lost in the league. It's not difficult to pinpoint where they were relegated. It was that patch between September and December what really did for him, because they're not a bottom three side.
Anyway, that is the end of this part of the show. Coming up next is Division 1 South. We'll be speaking to Robin Gray.
Robin Day?
Gray, I said.
Oh, welcome to New Night. He's been dead 20 years.
Robin Gray, and then we'll be right back for... We're going to get Gaz and Laura into the show.
Joining us now to discuss, and then looking back at all things Division 1 South from the past season, there's only one place we could turn to. Robin Gray, how are you? Are you all right?
I'm very well, Ben, thanks. Thanks for having me again as
No
well.
Problem. Right, so let's start up at the top. Michelover Sports, in the end, won it comfortably by 9 points. Does that give a true reflection of Michelover's performance this year? Have they been that dominant?
They have been dominant, but I don't think the league's been as good as it has been in recent seasons, to be honest with you. I think there's been some very inconsistent teams even looking towards the playoff places, and that shows you what the league's been like in some ways, doesn't it? It's been a very strange season, and then obviously you get lots of teams resigning, and you think, you know, well, then that saves teams from relegation. So to see Michelover sort of coast it like that was a bit of a surprise looking at the start of the season, but not a surprise when you look back at it. So I suppose the inconsistent form and just the budget and the consistency. I mean, they're the one team that's been, I mean, maybe along with Leek, who actually have been very consistent throughout, yeah. And that's where it takes you.
That was going to be my next question about. I'm trying to think back. I'm going back into my memory, and I think this season, for a long time, there could have been four teams who you could say could realistically win Division 1 South. Michelover was one of them. Leek was the other, and yeah. I'd throw in Newcastle and Sutton Coldfield as well. Mm. Leek and Newcastle, though, what happened? Because they were there, weren't they?
I at one point as well, I thought Sutton were going to win it, actually, Ben. I thought Sutton were in with a chance. I think they were top, weren't they, for a couple of weeks?
They were, but they did a Skelmersdale, didn't they? Because they were top, but had played a lot more games than anyone else.
They did look like they got the momentum, though. But no, Leek just blew it in the playoffs again. Newcastle, their inexperience just couldn't handle the playoffs, which their assistant manager Robin van der Laan said the other day. And I just think that as for Leek, I mean, they didn't have all their players playing. They lost a few in the season, Matt Bell and Liam Shotton, who were huge for them. And I just think that, again, that, you know, Sutton won it because they did what I told you last week, yep. And I said that Leek were going to. I said that I thought Leek would win, but I also said if Leek didn't get the first goal, Ben, that Sutton would get the 3 points. You know, if they got the first goal, because not the 3 points, the place in the division above. You know, so that's the way it goes. Like I say,
let's discuss the playoff final then. Sutton Coldfield Town against Leek Town. We covered it with a mammoth preview show last week, where the manager for Sutton Coldfield said, we are the underdogs going into this one. We spoke to the Leek Town chairman as well. It does feel like Leek Town really do need to get out of this league at some point, though, doesn't it?
They do, because they've got a great stadium, you know, and they had over 1,200 fans there, which was actually Nothing compared to the other two playoff finals, but it was still wonderful for Leek Town and the size and for Stoke-on-Trent as a whole. And it was quite remarkable how many made it. You know, you go to these stadiums. I know, I'm sure you'll know, Ben, and you from covering them yourself. And you go usually, and you can, you know, say hello to everyone. And I was sat there, and I couldn't get myself a seat. You know, so it's extremely crowded. But like I say, back to the football on that front. Leek just. That, you know, I always felt that if they got the first goal, they'd go on to maybe win it by three or four, and they didn't. And they were just ran out of ideas. Sutton, basically, this isn't a bad thing to say about them, but they defended resolutely and they got a couple of chances and stuck them away. And Leek didn't defend themselves very well defensively, but you know, that's what happens when you're in the final. There are mistakes, there are heroes, and there are people who, you know, sometimes let themselves down. And I think Leek would just be very disappointed as a whole to miss out on the playoffs 2 years in a row and to lose to Belper 2-0. Mm-hmm. The Sutton game was it was almost the same game. 0-0 at half time. You thought Leek maybe should have taken the lead. And then second half, they conceded two goals because they were eager to win the game.
Well, trust me, if you're listening from Leek Town, and I'm sure you're not because you don't really want to be reminded, do you? But from an FC United perspective, there's nothing better than getting beaten in the playoffs numerous times over numerous years. It's a great feeling. But congratulations to Sutton Coldfield Town. As we said, out in front for a long time, got swallowed up due to the number of games that they played more than anyone else. But they stuck around in the playoffs and reaped the rewards at the end.
Well, Justin Richards was just the man, wasn't he? He was running out of steam towards the end of the game at the weekend. But my goodness me, you know, he's got a goal in him. And that's where they took the game away from Newcastle Town, like I said. And on Saturday, I thought I was surprised how well they defended, to be honest with you. I thought they did very well against Newcastle, but I thought they were even better on Saturday. And they were delighted at the end. It's always difficult. You know, they were lifting the trophy there at Leek Town. All the fans had gone. And there was, you know, the chairman had to put the boarding up and things like that. And I did feel quite sorry for Leek, but Sutton, you know, were delighted. And it's a credit to them. They've just got to try and not do what Belper have done this season in the league above, because it's amazing what a difference there is in the two leagues, yes, you know, going up. So we'll see.
I mean, we've got to remember that they're from the part of the world where Stourbridge and Hills Owen are, and they've done quite well in the Premier Division. So who knows? I'm sure they'll be fine. Gresley FC made the final playoff spots after... that was the most exciting thing in the final weeks of Division 1 South. Who was going to get those two remaining playoff spots between Sutton, Gresley, Stafford and Spalding?
Yeah.
In the end, Gresley got it. Where can Gresley go now?
Well, I've been to the ground. I've obviously been around the football club a few times, and they're a very well drilled, well run side. And going back to the Stafford game, you know, just to touch on that, Stafford must be kicking themselves. 9 home draws this season, only lost one. 11 wins. I mean, if they turned a few of them draws, which were very, you know, draws where they should have won games, into wins, they'd be in a completely different position. Mm-hmm. They will be annoyed, considering they had, you know, such a good away record at times. But no, I mean, Gresley, like I say, I think they can go far. I mean, considering they were battling relegation last season, it's quite a remarkable turnaround. And, you know, they'll be disappointed that they didn't make it through, obviously, to the final and maybe do better. But to finish fifth, a great season for you know, a town in Burton that's competing with the likes of Burton Albion for supporters and things like that, and maybe this could be a turn for them. I do hope they do well, because they're a local side and they're very well run.
If we talk about Stafford Rangers are a side who have big pedigree. Some might say that they're a club of conference proportions. What's this season been like? Has it been a consolidation season, or where they were just hoping that they could squeeze into the playoffs, or are they a bit disappointed, do you think?
Well, I spoke to Neil Kitching in June last year in the first interview while he was new manager, and he said, you know, they can't put expectations on the season, because at the end of the day, that the last season had been and so poor, and the decline of the club had been shambolic in some ways, and they needed to sort things out off the field, but also get what he said to me was a hard working group of players with some Stafford lads in the team. You know, when you look back to the days as when Stan Collymore played for them. Yeah. And that's what they tried to do. Yeah, they brought in some from around the area, but they were all local lads in the Black Country sort of way. And that's fantastic. And Neil Kitchens did a really good job there. Yes, they didn't get into the playoffs, but they won, obviously, the Staff Senior Cup. And they you know, they've consolidated. They've got some good players. They just weren't quite creative enough at times at home, and that's the problem you get in this division. You can have a well-drilled side who can get results, grind out results, which Stafford did superbly, but that one game where you're drawing 1-1 or drawing 0-0 and the away team sort of parked the bus as such, which Neil Kitchen talked about, which they've been on the end of at times this season, which wasn't a complaint, but it's something they didn't get round well at all, and that's what will disappoint them, I think.
If we could talk about the plucky upstarts now of Spalding United and, to a lesser extent, Tividale. Both those sides have performed very, very well this year.
Well, you've got to give them immense credit. I mean, Tividale, I'd be right in saying that they will still be in the league next season, won't they now? Because they've passed the grounds.
Yes, I believe so. Yes.
So it's fantastic for them. And these are the sort of two teams that people thought at the start of the season we might be able to pick up a few points from them. Well, going to Spalding and Tividale, not only a Tuesday night, but a Saturday afternoon, were tough tasks for many. Both had pretty good home records, and Spalding just, I think that they're a breath of fresh air. They played some good football, I saw at times, and you know, that they're, again, if they got in the playoffs, it would have been a wonderful story. It's a shame for them, but yeah, Tividale again can go away thinking that they've done well, because, you know, it's great to see. I don't want to label them as smaller clubs, Ben, but you know, they're teams that people didn't expect maybe to do this well.
Robin,
so it's wonderful.
Listen
to
what I said. Plucky upstarts. People know what I mean. Anyway, other teams, we mentioned Stafford Rangers perhaps being a sleeping giant. Stocksbridge Park Steels, if we can just cover them off. What's this season been like for them, in your view?
Well, again, you know, it's almost like pro football in some ways, the ways that the League One and League Two seasons are playing out at the moment, where teams come down a division and they expect it to go up. But unfortunately, it doesn't work like that in football anymore. Maybe some would say it never has. So when Stocksbridge, you know, they're a huge club, and they were sort of in with a half chance of staying up last season at times, but they just didn't have enough, and it's a shame, obviously, see it sort of a sleeping giant as they get labelled. But I just, again, maybe the recruitment, maybe the squad, again, if you're not consistent enough in this league, then you fall into either mid-table mediocrity or you go towards the drop zone, and they've been at fine in the end. Yeah, they were. Yeah. I think they were never going to get relegated, but next season will be interesting to see what they can do this summer. Obviously, you don't know you never know in non-league football the financial state of these clubs, and they change on a day-to-day basis. So whether they can get some good recruitment in and get a squad together for next season to challenge, we'll have to wait and see.
Well, you mentioned day-to-day running, and at this point we're going to cover relegation. And relegation Division 1 South is a complicated affair. We've got, obviously, we've had the sad demise of Norton United, and congratulations to Norton United and all the staff for getting to the end of the season and finishing 11th. And I can't remember who said it last week. It might have been Sutton Coldfield's manager, who basically said that if Norton hadn't had all the troubles, he quite fancied them to at least scrape the playoffs, maybe even get
in. I did as well, Ben. Yeah, I did, because before Christmas, when I was working for them there, I you know, they were playing a vibrant style of football. I mean, the first five games, they looked like they were going to finish with less points than Brigg. And then they found a way of playing. They played with freedom. They played with pace. You know, they played with, again, but they, as Scott Dundas says, the team only know how to attack. And with Mickey Lennon and Lee Cropper up front, anything was possible. So, yeah, before that happened, I thought they'd get in the playoffs, probably a bit biased. But no, I know you're going to come on to the relegation fight. I mean, again, Market Drayton, a little bit last season, struggled a little bit. But again, they were a bit like Stocks, which never looked like they were going to go down. Carlton, towards the end of the season, pulled off some great results, you know, like at Leek Town when they were 2-0 down at half-time and won 3-2. But again, it wasn't their season as such. And when you look at, and of course, beating Kidsgrove as well, 2-0 out of the 3 away league wins came late on. And it will be interesting to see again what they can do next season. As for Brigg and Rainworth, you know, like you say, day-to-day running, Brigg just clearly, you know, a major problem is in football is travelling and the funding, I suppose, at this level. And
well, we wish all clubs who are sadly leaving the NPL this season all the best for the future. At this stage, it's very difficult to know what's going to happen in Division 1 South, who the runners and riders are going to be next season. We don't know about the restructuring, but good year for Division 1 South, or a bit? I think you alluded to this earlier, really, didn't you?
It's, yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed it because, from a personal note, there's been five local teams in the same league, which has been wonderful. But I just think sometimes, you know, there have been big steps between some of the teams. At the same time, the playoff race has been enthralling, and there's, you know, and the relegation fight was decent at times, you know, but there were a lot of teams who sort of mid-table, inconsistent, sort of classic examples of what can happen in this league. So I suppose it's been okay at times. There's been some exciting games that I've watched. I think it'd be nice to maybe, you know, sometimes teams, I think, in this league, like Norton have done, just, you know, maybe play a bit more, express yourselves a little bit more on the pitch and try and, you know, I know it's not everyone's philosophy, but if the away team score 4, then you try and score 5, you know, and I know it's a wonderful idea and things like that, but it's showing that actually if you go with that philosophy, coming in with no fear, like Norton have done, then you can actually do quite well in this league. And maybe it's a different sort of a style of football and philosophy might get some more success for teams. But listen, that's my theory. I don't think I'll go down in the Evo Stick books for that, but we'll have to see. You know, who knows? Like we say, Sporting and Tiverdale set the league alight, though, with some great performances and surprises. So, and Norton as well. So teams like that, you know, it does surprise you and excite you at times.
Robin Gray, presenter of the Staffordshire Football Show on Not FM and the press officer at Kidsgrove Athletic. On behalf of all the listeners, I'd like to thank you for rescuing the Evo Stick NPL show this season with your in-depth Division 1 South knowledge. You've been very, very useful.
Well, I mean, I do sometimes have to sit here with the league table in front of me, but I have had the pleasure of seeing every team once this season, so it's been a pleasure, Ben, and keep up the good work.
Welcome back to the Evo Stick NPL show, the last Evo Stick NPL show of the season, and round the table, well, we've got rid of everyone, basically. They've all gone to the urinals, so we've decided we're going to take this opportunity to hear from Laura from Salford City and Gaz from Mossley and James Hayes from Radcliffe Borough. How has, Gaz, firstly from you, how has Division 1 North been for you?
Oh, also
Russell.
It's
been
a fantastic.
I'm Russell.
Personally, from my point of view at Mosley, it's been fantastic. Obviously, finished last year in 14th place. Finished this year just outside the playoffs. Went on an amazing run from Christmas. Drew 3 games in 12. Won the rest of them. Absolutely fantastic. Can't ask for more of the lads. Just unfortunately finished just outside the playoffs. But
now you're the kit man.
Yes,
you're the kit man at Mosley. Now, a few things have been said about Mosley this year, which some of which I've edited out. But how narrow is the tunnel onto the pitch at Mosley? Berkey will tell you as well that you finished 7th.
Yes,
just narrowly missing out on the playoffs this year. Well,
I think 2 points.
2 points. What an achievement is that at a club like Mosley?
Fantastic. If you look at, obviously, the clubs above us, obviously we've got Laura here from Salford. Congratulations to Salford.
Yes.
Fantastic. Obviously, our budget below the other clubs is far lower than a lot. So, yeah, absolutely fantastic. Obviously, Bandy and Lloyd have just got the lads gelled. If we can keep them for next season, try and obviously get a few more players in, I think we'll stand more a great chance of being there or thereabouts.
Roy, I'm going to come to you now. New Mills, second from bottom, but that doesn't tell the full story, does it? That's actually a hell of achievement for New Mills this year, isn't it?
In one respect it is, but Leeds don't lie, and we're in that position for, you know, certain reasons. Reason being, you know, you can play as well as the teams that you come up against and maybe outplay them on occasions, but if you concede goals, you'll drop points. And basically, that's been our Achilles heel. I keep saying to the lads that champions win games not by going forward. Champions win games by getting back and defending what they've got. And all teams, you know, at the start of a game, are 0-0. You know, you have a point at the start of it. What you need to do is keep that zero and maybe nick a game with a goal, if possible. And with maybe two or three if the fortune shines on you. And that's been our problem. What we've done is we've been able to score goals, but we've conceded too many. And you know, that comes down from experience of playing at this level.
And we should say at time of recording, New Mills are second from bottom. We don't know at this moment in time whether that is relegation or not. And Radcliffe Borough, I'm coming to you now, James, quickly. Radcliffe Borough, for how can I say this, for 80% of the season, 12 players. So you're allowed just 12 players. No more than 12. You can't have more than 12. What do you mean you want to sign a dog? No, you can't. 12. How have you managed to get fourth from bottom?
I think...
Super Danny Johnson.
Thank you. Basically, the start of our season and the end of our season is what's kept us up. Literally, all our points have come from then. 10 points, literally, we were sixth. At the start, coming end of August, coming into September, just outside the playoffs, literally off what Mixie's done for us in the past. Obviously, he came on the show and explained what the situation was for Borough. Obviously, 2 weeks later, he ended up leaving the club. I'm not in a position to say what the position was in regards to that. And then, obviously, Danny Johnson.
We can, though.
Well, you can if you want to, but.
Conjecture, though, would be conjecture, in fairness.
Let's not do conjecture.
Yeah. But, Danny Johnson's come in. Rough start for him, obviously. He's probably the only Radcliffe Borough manager ever to lose his opening game, even Bill Benveres.
Is that true?
I won't say
ever. I find that hard to believe.
I thought they drew with Spennymoor.
Not his opening game, we lost to Mosley 4-0.
Oh, right.
But yeah.
He's Mosley?
Were that in the Manchester Premier Cup or something? Oh, right.
That's anyway. Whatever.
But it's not been the easiest of seasons, obviously, budget wise. Three managers come and gone. But. All credit to us, we stayed up. I mean, obviously, I'd hated it. I do have over the show with Roy just for the laugh, but I'd love to see us both stay in this division. Really hope. I'm told that if you do stay up, I'm glad to probably be playing this next season.
Group hug, everyone. Group hug. No, it's all that. Now, before we get on to Salford City, Laura, don't let your time come. I've got a segue to go into this, and it relates to New Mills and Radcliffe. Is this league at step four, this one here, the most gulf-ridden league in the whole of English football? The gulf between the rich, the richest clubs, and the ones with who some people call amateur.
Yeah, but
your words, Berkey, not mine.
Yeah, but surely you're saying that on paper or financially, yes. But as Swampy's just said, New Mills went to Warrington and won 4-1, so no.
But
because what it also shows is that anybody can beat anybody in that league. There might be a big difference in money, mm-hmm. but not always in quality. It's how you use the money.
But my question is, how hard is it to
she's
run?
Good. She's good. She'll be here next season. She's bloody good.
To be fair, we've got Mosley here as well. Mosley finished 7th, 2 points. And your budget's not mega, is it?
No.
So my question is, how hard is it to run a club at this level, at step four?
You can look at it from a starting point of view. It's 11 players against 11 players. If they each do the job in the manner that they're capable of, then hopefully you can come out with something. The problem comes with when the skills and abilities, and they've all got skills and abilities, whether they're at the top of the league or the bottom of the league, because they're actually playing at this level. When those qualities are inconsistent, that's when your results become inconsistent as well. We've proved that on our day, and we could call them cup games, we can step up to the mark and we can sustain that consistency. But over a period of time, because of our qualities in attaining that consistency, and I keep bringing that word in, we peak and trough, we don't flow. And good teams with good quality players that can attain that flow will be the ones that will be at the top. Those that peak and trough will cause upsets, like not only did we beat Warrington, we actually beat Farsley at home, and deservedly as well. And at that time, I think they were in the playoff spots. So, and they were one of the favourites actually.
Is it fair to say though, when you've got 87 players through a season, you're not going to have that consistency?
No, you're not going to have
it. The likes of the top teams have had that consistency, and that's not because of money, that's because they've got the squad that are prepared to stay there and will stay there.
But they've
you were playing your last game of the season for New Mills, you had your centre half in goals because you had no goalkeeper. You had 12 players to play Darlington, you're only beaten by 3-1.
Now, we've delayed enough. Laura Flint's come a long way. This season, going up to the league above, after you've had all this chat that you've heard about teams who've done well, dark horses and all that, what Salford City, are you going to try and mirror what Curzon have achieved this year, or are you going to...
I think teams like Curzon, who've gone up and then made such a fantastic job in their first seasons going up, it's inspirational to the rest of us to show that. I think what it does show is how strong Division 1 North is. I mean, we've just said how strong it is, as in anybody can beat anybody, but also if you can go up from Division 1 North and immediately go into the playoffs in the Premier Division, then... You know, surely that's a great example for us to follow. In terms of what a season it's been, I mean, I can't say we've been up and down. We haven't been down. We've been up and then slightly less up, I guess I would say. But I mean,
that's what like a triple one song, this. What,
but what I mean, what a running title running. Since the new managers came in, we won 16 of our last 18 games. That is title winning form. You can't argue against that. I mean, Darlington, we were absolutely neck and neck. Our record, the only thing that was better for them was their goal difference, and then they drew 2 games, and that was what handed the title to us in effect.
Well, Darlow choked again, like they did last season. And the thing is though, that when John Owen Bernard came in back in January the 3rd, they were miles behind. They were in second place, but they were a few points behind. They played a few games more, and they were playing for second place, basically. Darlington should have won that league, and they didn't. But fair play to the management team there. They've turned things around. They've been playing the scintillating kind of football that they were playing at Ramsbottom. And they're the best managers in non-league. Well, best young managers on the way up. In non-league, simple as that, they really are.
Now, just before we finish Division 1 off, a special mention to those who made the playoffs. Well, Darlington, Bamber Bridge in particular, Northwich Victoria and Spennymoor Town.
Congratulations.
Any surprises in that playoff? Apart from Bamber Bridge, obviously.
No, I think the one shot there...
Personally, with the Northwich Fakes, they've performed all the...
Congratulations to Northwich for getting back that neck of the woods for next season. Scarborough Athletic.
I've got a Scarborough.
Now, no, Division 1 South last year. They've come to Division 1 North. We all...
Quite right, too.
We've hinted in the past, without actually confirming it, Division 1 South, before you start emailing in, that Division 1 North might be a bit stronger.
Ben, they don't ever email. That's the problem.
Just saying it. But Scarborough Athletic come into Division 1 North, finished 6th.
They've finished just shy of the playoffs. I think at the start of the season, a lot of people were tipping them to actually make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They've just fell short, but maybe that's a transition thing. But I do expect them to be up there in the playoffs.
And that was going to be my question. Scarborough former football league club. We always going about Darlington.
I think they've seen what it is this season, and I think they've got. It's different from the south to north. We've just alluded to that. Maybe the north is a little bit stronger. They've come in from the south. They've held their own. They've finished there, and I think they know what's required for next season.
And right there, people
coming from the south, but They also had a little bit of a nucleus of North Ferriby there, so they understood the level of the Northern Division, and I think it held them in good stead. What I would say is that maybe they were more experienced, I won't say older, but more experienced in their age that they had there, and the mix wasn't quite right, you know, as regards that. But they understood the level. And to be honest, they were one of the teams that you had to beat, and you thought, you know, would be up there somewhere along the line.
And that was a deliberate question, because I predict next season somebody round the table will say Scarborough Athletic for the playoffs next year at least.
They'll win the league this year.
Now, they won't.
No. Yeah, just it's proper Derren Brown stuff going on here. Just to say, that's the end of Division 1 North. Before we go, Gaz, you have a charity event that you need to plug.
Yes, 31st of May at Mosley Football Club.
Just plug this event properly. The 31st of May at Mosley Football Club, what's happening?
Yeah, 31st of May, Mosley Football Club, the Alex Williams All-Stars. Young lad from Ashton who sadly passed away a couple of years ago. We're playing the Man City Old Boys. We've got to be big charity game, function in the bar afterwards, sporting mobilia. Please come down, support the game. It's going to be a great day. £3 adults, £1 juniors.
And what time's kick-off?
Kick-off's 2 p.m.
2 p.m. at Mosley's ground.
At Mosley's ground.
Mosley.
It's not difficult, Ben.
It is for him, evidently.
It has a Z in it.
Yeah.
I don't want it. It hasn't got a Z in it, though. It's Mosley.
No, it's Mosley.
Oh, whatever.
You know, like, we've got to say Wilson nowadays.
Is there anywhere where people can go to find out more information?
Yeah, you can go on Facebook, Gaz Worrell, or there is a Facebook group, Alex Williams All-Stars, the Man City Old Boys.
And who's in the Old Boys? Is Jonathan Macken going to be playing? Or Jamie Pollock? Jamie Pollock.
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
Tony Grealish. He's making a comeback.
This is where the United comes out. Nicky Weaver, is he going to be playing?
And yeah, you've got your Whitley brothers, your Brightwell brothers, oh, Andy Dibble.
Now, that is the end of the Evo Stick MPL show.
A bit longer.
Eh?
Have you got an hour's worth?
Yeah, I've definitely got an hour's worth. Just me. So that is the end of the Evo Stick MPL show for this season. Thank you to everyone round the table. Gaz Worrell, thank you for Mosley.
Mosley.
Yay! All right. I'm still resentful about that hill from the train station. It's bloody ridiculous.
You shouldn't need blooming rails going up a hill. It's stupid. Oh, I hate it. I had to get the bus just so I don't get the train because I'm too fat to walk up a hill.
You still have a lot of on.
Swampit from 5 Live and FCM Radio, thank you for joining us this season.
Really enjoyed it as always.
The good news is, everyone at home, there'll be less FC United mentioned next season, but I doubt it very much.
There'll be a lot more hype, though.
Yes, yay, there will.
I doubt that very much, as well, in fairness.
Roy Sewell from New Mills, thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to thank you and wish Salford all the best in the division above. And, you know, all the spectators that's actually come along to watch us play and turn up and watch, you know, it's all credit to them and all, because without the speckies, you ain't got football, end story.
Ian Burke from Radio Manchester and 26-0.
And for the Premier League.
Thanks for having me, Ben. And we'll this tin pot league next season.
Leave it. It has to be left in.
James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, which you can get involved with at facebook.com/groups/the MPL.
And I'm at the MPL group, and I'm finally on holiday.
Okay. Laura Flint, thank you for joining us from Salford City, and we'll be hearing from you more often next year.
You will. You'll be sorry you've invited me now. I'll try not to be too smug next year, I promise.
And Stuart James from the Non-League Review, thank you.
Yeah, cheers.
Just to say, this isn't the end of the Eurosic MPL show. We'll be back in August for a pre-season review, preview kind of thing, where we'll be unleashing the dark horses and we'll be back again and we'll do it all over
ben,
again.
You do realise this, don't you?
What?
They're going to insist on something in between.
No, they're not.
Of course you are. Texting, tweeting, do what you need.
Crazy
talk. If
you
want a special show next month, all the runners and riders that won everything, all the managers here at the Mandates, everyone there, get them in here, tweet it. If you don't, we won't do the show. If you do, We'll do a show next month. It gives me an opportunity to drink more beer.
No, I'm turning you all down. You're all gone. You're all out of the room. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, we'll see you next season, everyone. Take care. Have fun. Bye-bye.
EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.